You ready, Brother Ward? Raise one hand. Let's say this together. Our Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we welcome with joy and faith revelation knowledge that is found in your Son alone. There's no error in this atmosphere. There's no distraction in this atmosphere. Together as a church, we behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. He's glorified and we're edified. Amen. Matthew's Gospel 16. Now, like I said yesterday, we'll take a different emphasis in the evening services. Somehow in the afternoon, I did a gossip. I said a bit of what I want to say tonight, but it's fine, you know. In Matthew 16, I want to read that quickly. I want to move as fast as possible. I'm not going to be fast, but I'm not going to be slow. I'll be like Brother Higgins. I'll be in the middle of the road. You know, I'm growing up to like Brother Higgins' middle of the road approach. Life demands you do that oftentimes. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Verse 13. Verse 14, and they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But who do you say that I am?" Verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." Pay attention to verse 18 and 19. He says, "I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Then verse 19, "I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom," unto you the kingdom of heaven, "or whatsoever things that you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever things that you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And quickly we said that Jesus' teaching ministry was taken from which books now? Come on. Huh? Genesis to Malachi. Which means that the narratives of his teaching and doctrine is found between Genesis and Malachi. Which is, we can say that is the curriculum of his class, the curriculum of his teaching ministry. And so yesterday, we looked at how the synoptic were put together. We saw Mark 1, where Mark says the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He uses the word arche. Matthew says the genosos, the generation. Two of them made allusions to the book of Genesis. So we said that Jesus often taught that way. Also, we saw that in Mark 1:2, it says the prophets in the scriptures, and he refers to Isaiah and Malachi. Isaiah 40 verse 3, Malachi 3:1. A bit of that we saw yesterday. Don't forget, I said pay attention to verse 18. "Upon this rock I will build my church." So Jesus is teaching from the Old Testament. To understand what church means, you don't look around. You look into the scriptures and find out what does the Bible refer to, the scriptures? What does it teach as the church? So in Isaiah chapter 40, just quick one, just a reminder of what we taught last night. Isaiah chapter 40, the text that we read yesterday from Mark 1 verse 2. Isaiah 40 verse 3. Mark 1 verse 3, pardon me. "The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." This is a prophecy about John the Baptist. The voice of him that cries in the wilderness is John the Baptist. That's confirmed in the synoptic. But pay attention. Then he says in verse 5, he says, "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Now, what does he mean by the glory of the Lord? Verse 9, "O Zion, that brings good things, get thee up in the high mountain, O Jerusalem, that brings good things, lift up the voice with strength, lift it up and be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God." So what will be seen is called the glory of the Lord, is also called God. So God reveals his glory by himself. Now, I had Sister Tonya shared before. She was reading from Habakkuk 2:14 and Haggai 2:7, 8, and 9. And said that the glory of the Lord, the glory of the latter house, is greater than the former. And then the Habakkuk 2:14. The whole earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, as the waters covers the sea. Again, Haggai, Habakkuk, are taken from Numbers 14:21. As long as I live, saith the Lord, my glory will fill the earth, Numbers 14:21, as the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. The earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. The earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. So, Haggai, Habakkuk, and you're going to see Isaiah 11 verse 9 too. He said, the knowledge of the Lord in this mountain, in all the earth. Psalm 72, again, you see the same statement said there. The glory of the Lord. So, Isaiah is telling us that glory of the Lord is God himself. So, the glory of God is God's manifestation. God's personal revelation. Remember, in Exodus 32, verse 18, when Moses said, show me your glory. In verse 20, 18 and 20, 19 and 20, it says, no man will see my face. Panim. Panim is used in the Hebrew for an appearance of someone. So the glory of the Lord is his appearance. The glory of the Lord is his appearance. So keep that somewhere so we can move quickly. The glory of the Lord is his appearance. What Moses asked for, what Isaiah is talking about, is God's manifestation amongst men. God's manifestation in humanity. This is not just to humanity, it is in humanity. So the glory of the Lord revealed is God revealed amongst men. That's what the glory of the Lord is. It will fill the earth. God's personal revelation. He's not sending someone. He's not sending a messenger. He's not sending signs and wonders. Even though there will be signs and wonders in unquantifiable measures. But God himself, hallelujah, hallelujah, God himself is described as the glory of God. So last night, I showed you the word doxazo, used in quite a number of texts in the book of John. Glorified. It means to display that glory. To display that glory. And that glory was displayed in the resurrection. That glory was displayed. John 17 we saw yesterday. Verse 2, 3, 4, 5, verse 20, verse 21, verse 22. John 14. Verse 13, 14. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. To be glorified. To show yourself. To reveal who you are. In the Son. So the word glory, of course in the Greek, is the word doxa. D-O-X-A. In the Hebrew is the word kabod. Used for, pay attention, used for riches, possession, wealth, influence. And also reveals a man's possession. A man's wealth. I'm repeating myself. So, which means the glory of God is God giving us his very best. And his very best is his very self. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. His very self. His very self. So from the incarnation, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his doxa. We beheld his kabod. We saw God in a man. We saw God as a man. John is saying that. John is saying what Moses cried for, we have seen it. In 1 John 1:1, it says, our eyes looked upon, our hands have handled the word of life. We have handled it. And John was describing what happened at the resurrection as well. When they touched Jesus, they touched God. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. The incarnation shows us how near God wants to be with man. The incarnation shows that. It shows how near. The incarnation breaks the cycle of the physical temple where people were debarred or barred, sorry, or restricted. And we saw God as he wanted to be. He's in the midst of prostitutes. He's in the midst of tax collectors. He's in the midst of robbers. He's in the midst of any kind of person you can think about. Why? Because that is the promise. He's in the midst of any kind. Look at it. On the cross, where did you find God? In the midst of robbers. In the midst of robbers. Does it mean that he's endorsing their conduct? No, he's not. But he gives everyone equal opportunity. That is why the other guy said, remember me, Lord, when you get into your kingdom. So everyone is qualified. And you see other people were there who were Pharisees. They had big Bibles, Greek and Hebrew, Latin, Vulgate on their head. And they looked at him and mocked him. So their knowledge was not up to the faith of the guy on the cross. Hallelujah. God is found there in the midst of prostitutes. He's there. A sinner in Luke 17 came there. And she's wiping his feet. And they say, if this man is truly a prophet, he should have known that she was a sinner. But he said, all flesh shall see it. Hallelujah. All flesh shall see it. Everybody will have access to this revelation. So God's personal appearance has no restriction. Are you here? Are you here? Why? Don't forget, Isaiah said, the glory shall be seen. All flesh shall see it. All flesh. So, Jesus, pay attention. Tomorrow morning I'll teach something else on this, but let me just give you a hint. Jesus goes into the physical temple. And then he drives away every reason they had to restrict people. And he said, this house shall be called a house of prayer of every nation. And when he rose from the dead, they said he was referring to himself. So every kind of man, men, nation and tribe will have access to this house, this person, this glory, this manifestation, this revelation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We'll look at that tomorrow. Let me just take your mind away from that. So where you, what you're seeing now is the glory of God. I said the glory of God is not just what he does. The glory of God is who he is. His personal revelation. His face. His weight. And so, pay attention. In John 7, we saw it yesterday. That great day of the feast, John 7, 36, 37. Jesus cried out and said, stood and cried out, whoever is thirsty. Now, whenever you read the word whosoever, it is a welcoming statement for all kinds of men. It breaks the barrier of the Old Testament. It breaks the barrier of placed by the Jews and their teachers. Whosoever. It means Jew and Gentile, great and small, rich and poor, old and young, whosoever believes. Hallelujah. So I say whosoever. Say whosoever. You know, sometimes you, some of us who were preaching and then we see somebody who doesn't look societally accepted. You know, we look at the guy and say, ah, You think he needs extra prayer before you share the gospel with him. Maybe he's drinking alcohol. Maybe he has the whole body tattooed, has rings all over him. Maybe he's smoking hemp, but he's a, all I've seen and come short of the glory of God. There is somebody else who is working nicely, has nice shirts. He said, ah, how are you? You left that one. Have you heard about Jesus? Now the other guy said, this thing you are doing is killing the society. You give that one moral instruction. You give this one gospel because this one fits your church member. Oh, you got that leg, right? This one fits your church. This one can be in church. How can I take this one to service? Imagine you are bringing somebody to the service and his hands like this. Shh, shh. And he has hair rings. When the pastor sees, the pastor says, ah, bro, Austin, what's going on? This is not a rehab now. It's not a rehab. This is church. Or you bring somebody, you know, who has car keys, is flashing the thing like, hey. You know, ah. And the guy just, you know, and you're like, ah, God bless you. No! The glory of God is all flesh! You know what Isaiah said? Why are you making me preach tomorrow's sermon? Isaiah said, the strangers are welcome. The outcasts are welcome. The day is coming. Every kind of person, in every kind of culture, in every kind of behavior, we will see them in the churches. Hallelujah! I prophesy to many of you here who are sent to the outcast. Go in the power of the Holy Ghost. As many of you who are sent to outcast of a society, the morally bankrupt, go in the power of the Holy Ghost. Go in the power of the Holy Ghost. God is not ashamed of them. Don't be ashamed of them. God is not ashamed of them. Don't be ashamed of them. Walk with them. Talk with them. Eat with them. Pray with them. Glory to God. All flesh will see the glory of God. Cultists will see the glory of God. Abolists will see the glory of God. Muslims will see the glory of God. Hindu will see the glory of God. In the name of Jesus. Sit down, I'm still preaching. The glory of God is for everybody. So if you are here, don't give up. That ministry is God's ministry. He was with prostitutes, drunkards. He was with wine bibbers. He sat in their midst. God was in their midst. All flesh shall see it. All flesh shall see it. Jew and Gentile, Muslims, Shintoists, Hinduists. All flesh shall see it. Hallelujah. Are you in church tonight? Are you sure you're in church tonight? Are you sure you're in church tonight? Sit down. In this meeting tonight, something is going to drop. Sit down. Sit down. Everything that restricts your ministry, that puts boundary on your ministry, we remove them tonight. You begin to see men with the eyes of God. You will see what others are not seeing. I said you will see what others are not seeing. You will see healing ministers. When others are seeing tongues, you see healing ministers. All flesh shall see the glory of the Lord. Next 5-10 years in Nigeria, the continent of Africa, we are going to change the moral atmosphere. The moral atmosphere, we are changing it. We're changing it. Not therapy, gospel. Not therapy, gospel. Not therapy, gospel. Power of the Holy Ghost. Power of the Holy Ghost. Power of the Holy Ghost. Let your eyes be open now. To look down on no one. To look down on no one. Everyone is coming in. Glory to God. Everyone is coming in. I'm still preaching. Sit down. I'm still preaching. Oh, glory. All flesh. All flesh. All flesh. All flesh. All flesh. All flesh. We'll see the glory of God. We'll see the glory of God. Wow, wow, wow. Many are coming in. Oh yeah. Don't stop them. Don't stop them. Many are coming in. By the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. The glory of God is God Himself. All flesh will see. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sit down if you can. Sit down, please. I'm still preaching. Still preaching. Woo! Woo! All flesh. In your nation, all flesh. Every barrier is taken away. All flesh. All flesh. All flesh. Oh yeah, I know. I know you messed up at some point. And people are looking at you with that eye. Well, stop thinking what they are thinking. Stop thinking what they are thinking. Put your eyes on the world. And you make the change in the life of man. Stop thinking what you are thinking. Never allow the words of men to become your world. Yeah, you made the mistake. You messed up. Oh yeah. Things went bad. And people got to know. But you know what? It doesn't stop you. Doesn't stop you. God will put you somewhere else. And your ministry will be received. And the message will be received. Oh yeah. Yeah. Don't close down that work. Don't do it. Don't close down that church. If you're hearing me from home. No, don't. Don't. I bring life back to that church. Yep. Don't close it down. Don't. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. I'm still preaching, right? I'm still preaching. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Sit down. Sit down. The glory of God is Himself. So from the incarnation, we see God appearing to all sorts of men. He eats their meals, come on. He drinks their water. God is a social being. God is a social being. His humanity shows that humanity is meant to socialize. He became a man. Hallelujah. Which means even though he sent his words, even though he sends his instructions, it wasn't done till he came himself. So therefore, no amount of technology can change our interactions. Our interaction is of God. That we meet and mingle, pray together, fellowship together, eat together, or minister together. This is the will of God. God didn't send words. God did not send a tweet. Come on. God did not send a telegram message. No, he didn't send a Facebook message. He didn't send an email. He didn't send a letter. God came himself. The glory of God is that God came himself. Thank God for the online technology. But you see, they are just tools. The believers' gathering is when we come together. Hallelujah. When we come together. When we come together. Not when we send texts to each other. Not when we send tweets to each other. It's when we come together. We reflect the incarnation, the resurrection. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To know the importance of gatherings. When he rose from the dead, he gathered them again. I thought when he rose from the dead, he would just speak to them by the Spirit. No. He spoke to them by the Spirit, physically appearing to them. The physical gathering is not an option. It is the glory of God. Hallelujah. Did you hear what I just said? It is the glory of God. Hallelujah. So the glory of God is God himself. Now hear this. Now, John tells us that on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, "Whosoever is thirsty, let him come and drink. For as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Then John stood back and wrote, "This spake he of the Spirit. For the Holy Ghost was not yet, because Jesus was not yet glorified." What is glorified again? Display of that glory. Let me add one more definition. Glorified now means a wholesale of that glory. You know, there's wholesale when you give it to as many as possible. In the incarnation, in one place, in the resurrection, everywhere. So what we have here in this service is not lesser than the incarnation. We have God physically present here. Did you hear what I said? He's physically present. He's not hanging in the air or outside. He's physically present. Because the resurrection, he said, he is glorified. Doxazo. He will make it available everywhere. So hear this. What now happened in the resurrection? John 14, verse 16. "I will pray the Father. He will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it sees him not. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be where? In you." In you. Hallelujah. 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 That means he's closer to you than the clothes you are wearing. He's closer to you than the person sitting next to you. He said he is in you. He's right there. In you. That is the glory of God. Physically present. You know, sometimes we have meetings in some of the associations I belong to, and they'll say, we cannot all gather because of, you know, what we have in the world last 1 year. So we said some people will have to come physically, some will have to attend via Zoom. So some people say, I'm here. I know how we do in these days. They'll put up the camera, put up the microphone, and go and start eating. And then they'll mark them as present, sir. You know. But those who are present there, they are seen. They are known. So they say, who are those who attended? They say, I attended. There was even a day like that. Okay, it's already on TV. There's nothing I can do. I put up the camera. It was a meeting. I put up the microphone. It's not church. So we had an Arsenal game. I was watching it. I didn't hear most of the deliberations. By the end of the meeting, they said, attendance. So we used to, in my alumni association, we do house tally. So the house that is highest, we sing the song for the house. So I quickly came at the end of the meeting. I said, Field House is there, Field House is there, Field House is there. And I was not there most of the time. You know, the truth is, God is not like that. He doesn't come via Zoom. He is physically there. That is what the resurrection has done to us. Physically present. Just like in the incarnation, he was found amongst many people. Where in the days, Brother Hagin did a prophesy. He said, God is after hungry hearts. He said, from every denomination, even strange religions, every kind of man. And I'm repeating that prophecy by the Spirit of God. We're going to find the manifestation of the Spirit of God in unexpected places. Sometimes our training, our moral high-handedness has made us restrict our ministries. But God beats that your morality. Did you hear what I'm saying? Do you know why Jesus told the story of that robber on the cross? He told the story himself. It was deliberate. He told the story himself because all disciples that are taking visa, they had run away. So he told the story. There are stories he told himself. And notice what was unique about those stories. The John 4 Samaritan woman. Again, she had a moral failure. She had 5 husbands. And the man she was with, making 6, is not her husband. 5 plus 1. You know what? She saw the glory of God. And when she saw the glory of God, she left her water pot, ran to the city. I have seen Christ. I have seen Christ. I have seen Christ. I have seen Him. Listen, in the days of Jesus, women were second class. So they never used to call them to give witness or evidence in the courts. They were not reliable witnesses. Who did Jesus choose as his first witness? A woman. He said, go and tell them. Why didn't he say, I'm going to meet Peter? He said, go and tell them. I've risen. He chose the woman. Why? All flesh. All flesh. All flesh. Prostitutes? Yeah. The robber? Yeah. The woman, yeah, all shall see the glory of God. All flesh. We're going to find brothels turn into fellowship centers. Mosques turned into churches. All flesh. Former idol worshiping centers will start to worship Yahweh. All flesh. Many of you will be like Peter. As you are saying the Greek word, the Hebrew word, the Holy Ghost will just fall. Sit down. While you are doing your exegesis, trying to explain. They just say, woo, 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 woo. Oh, you see the glory of God in Zambia, in Uganda, in America, in UAE, in Saudi Arabia, in Ghana, in Zimbabwe, in South Africa, Ethiopia, Sudan, Mali, Senegal, all. See the glory of the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So sit down. So here's Jesus. He's in their midst. He gave us a prototype of the church. Prostitutes are in, right? Wine bibbers, Jews and Gentiles, robbers, they're in. Tax collectors. So, when he rose from the dead, said, now all authority in heaven and earth, go and make disciples of all nations. Because God will dwell anywhere, everywhere, with anyone. Any theology that restricts men from accessing God's presence is a devil's theology. God's theology, taught by Jesus and the apostles, welcomes everyone. Everyone. We're not going to leave them the way they came, but we're going to take them the way they are. Salvation meets you exactly where you are. You need not do anything. Just repent by faith and believe that this is God. This is His salvation. And that man has come in. Hallelujah. Now pay attention. So in the resurrection, when Jesus rose, when He rose from the dead, He said, all authority. John gives us an important detail, which I want to focus on tonight. An important detail. As He rose from the dead, He appeared to the 12. John 20 verse 20 and 21. He said, peace unto you, as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Which means we have no restrictions. No, we don't. We don't. We don't. You know, years ago, in our fellowship then, 1995, you know, now, there was this wonderful sister then in our meetings, great, great woman of God. She used to minister the baptism of the Holy Ghost in such a very unique way. I got her born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. But you know something? God can make you lay hands on people to stir up what is not working in your own life. You get that? Yeah. There was a brother like that. I had never raised the dead on before that time. I'd never. Two of them actually. 1994. I just went to him. We had these meetings at near Isolo. So I told him, I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will raise the dead. I'd never done it. And I laid hands on him. Then there was this false scarcity. So somebody fell down, pronounced dead in the filling station. He told me the story himself. He said he laid hands on the guy. And the guy came to life. I had never seen it, but I laid hands on him. I'm coming to that in a moment. The other younger fellow, I laid hands on him in a fellowship meeting. It was a secondary school gathering. I said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you will raise the dead. I had not. But God used me to stir in him a grace that was functioning in his life that he did not know. That is going to happen in this camp meeting. Did you hear me? So let me get back to that sister. So she would get, in fact, there was a time like that I went to a church and I wanted to get a lot of people filled with the Holy Ghost. And they were not, so I just called her and said, come and lay hands. And she wore, I think, jeans. And the folks started frowning. Woman, jeans, Holy Ghost, they don't meet. She had this thing. She just went. Pop, 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 tongues, and Annabelle. And the pastor looked at it. Yeah. I smiled. One guy like that. We used to call the guy Mantu. The guy had gave him series of teaching on the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I laid hands, I laid legs, I laid everything. He said, but me, why is not coming out? I said, what is not coming out? Is it your mouth, John? Oh yeah, just say something. He said, I can't say anything. So one day, has the same sister. So she came into the meeting. I said, oh yeah, take him. I spent months. She took him out of the room. While we're still talking, less than 2 minutes, the guy came back. Oh, no, brother. Hallelujah. Many times your pastor is the helper of your joy. He's the one God will use to stir you up, to make you stand and do the things God wants you to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I was telling the story. So this sister, I saw these guys, they were smoking hemp. And the hemp, now I'm the pastor. They were smoking heavy hemp. So I did like this, And it was a very dark place. And I'm the pastor. She said, give me some time, sir. I said, what do you want to do? Just to talk to them. So I said, somewhere in my mind, I'm thinking, hey, hemp. At night, her father, she just went, knelt down, and began to talk. I don't know what she said. They all dropped their cigarettes. So I'm watching from my farm. I'm the pastor. I'm saying, then she laid hands on them. The guy started speaking in tongues. I said, so when she came back, I said, job is done. I said, oh yeah, you know, I'm your pastor. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I said, glory to God. What was my problem? Religious demonism. I was looking at them and thinking, how long will this one take to be established? You know, to be established. Even those who are not smoking anything, their salvation is halfway. What a mindset. You don't have that mindset. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you see men how God sees them. Hallelujah. Sit down, come on. So, Jesus said, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Then what does he do? He breathed emphosau in the Greek, which is literally from Ezekiel 37:5. Son of man, can this dry bones live? He said, no. He said, we'll cause the breath to come inside them. Jesus was fulfilling Ezekiel's prophecy. What else did he do? And I said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Don't forget, the first work of the Spirit is the indwelling. The indwelling. The indwelling of the Spirit. Can he again was instructive to how I learned these very basic facts of the working of the Holy Ghost. There's the working of the Spirit in us. The indwelling. Like I said in the afternoon. We should be strong on it. Very strong on it. That we are sealed with the Holy Ghost. Oh yes. We're sealed with the Holy Ghost. We now have a new character. The fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5:22. We are born of the Spirit. We're sealed with the Holy Ghost. Ephesians 1:13 and 14. Ephesians 4:30. We have the foretastes. 2 Corinthians 1:22. 20 to 22. Ah yes. 2 Corinthians 5. We've got it all. The Holy Ghost is in us. He will be in you. But that's not all that Jesus said. He will be in you. Then he also said, he will be upon you. You need to realize that dual working of the Spirit. He will be upon you. Now, listen carefully. The word upon is an Old Testament. I know you know what I mean by Old Testament. Genesis and Malachi. Phrase for what can be seen and heard. No one will see and hear what is inside you. But what is upon you, epi in the Greek, is something that we can see as you appear. So he says, receive ye the Spirit. Now pay attention. In Acts 1:8, he said, you shall receive power after which the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So when you read the book of Acts, Acts 2:1 to 4, Acts 8:14 and 15, through to 18 and 19, Acts 9:15 and 16, Saul of Tarsus, Acts 10:43, 44, 45, 46 to 47, the house of Cornelius, Acts 19, verse 5 and 6, those folks that Paul met at Ephesus, you will see the word upon. Upon. The Holy Ghost fell on them. No, but I thought the Holy Ghost is in them. Yeah. And is also amongst us. There is a walking of the Spirit amongst us. So I said in the afternoon, if we don't place caution, we might be emphasizing the indwelling without the resultant effects of the outflow of the Spirit that we see when we come together. And so, and that is why we need to be cautious of the use of technology. People will say, well, I don't have to gather with believers. I have the Holy Ghost in me. Nonsense. That the most important, I have the Holy Ghost. You have things like, I am the temple of God in my room. Paul didn't say that. The first time Paul said, you are the temple of God, he was talking about the gathering of believers. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Then it says, your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, 6:19. I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Matthew 16:18-19. Matthew 18, he gives us the practice of it. Like Sister Tonya was saying earlier today, that there is now the practice of what we learned. What is the practice of the church? We now come together. We now come together. When we come together, we see visible demonstrations of the workings of the Spirit. So listen to this. What we see in the entire book of Acts is the Spirit amongst believers. How come that was the next book as arranged by the translators? And I agree with them. How come that was the proof that Jesus rose from the dead? Imagine the epistles without the book of Acts. You wonder what they're talking about. So the book of Acts is that living proof of the resurrected Christ. And where do you see the proof? In the midst of believers when they come together. So what is the instruction that Jesus gave us? He said, receive. Lambano. You must know how to take. There are many things that will never happen to you in your house. Never. There are many things that you will never know when you study alone. There are many things that you will never experience, even if you go to the mountain to pray. I take time to go and pray. I go before this camp meeting, I was in places to pray. But you see, nothing takes the place of this. Nothing. In my life today, there's nothing, no gift of God working that I discovered of my own. Everything was in the gathering of believers. You must know how to receive. How to receive. You must know how to take from the gathering of the saints. You must honor the gathering of the saints. You must. You must. God spoke to me in 2012. He said, go and teach honor. That believers should honor the local assemblies, honor fellow believers, and honor the leadership. He said, you will see greater manifestations of the move of God, of the glory of God, of the Spirit of God. So, a fundamental principle to receive is honor. Honor simply means respect and regard. Believers that have no regard for believers when they gather together will live a short-sighted Christian life. They will. They will. Look at someone sitting beside you. You know that person has the Holy Ghost. Are you aware? The person sitting beside you is a minister of the Spirit. Come on. Come on. The person seated beside you, both of you, or all of us, we together form the temple of God. Right? Right? That's the first principle. I must see believers with the eyes of the Word. That is why when you see strife, you will see the move of the Spirit is stifled. Because they are no longer seeing themselves in Christ. No longer. So, we need to know how to receive. In Acts 2, 1 to 4, how did they receive? They received when they came together. Did you notice that when Jesus rose from the dead, look at what he told them. He said, do not depart from Jerusalem. They knew what he meant was that they should all stay in one place. So, a major instruction in the Great Commission is to gather. Gather in one place. Then I will send the promise of my Father upon you. They took that instruction literally. And they came in one accord. Acts 2, 1 to 4. Acts 4, 22. Now 22, 23, 24 to 31. In one accord. In one accord simply means we honor each other. We honor the leadership. And we're unified in purpose. Listen carefully. What unifies a church is the honor they have for the leadership. Let me say that again. What unifies the church, a local assembly, is the honor they have for the leader. Not just the pastor. Because if you honor just the pastor and not the associates and other cell leaders, you are only a hypocrite. Now, if the pastor only receives honor from the members and doesn't give honor back to the members, he's also a hypocrite. Honor means to treat people how God treats them. To see them in the light of the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the glory of God can be seen when we gather. Is that it? 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 So God is in us physically present. He's also in our midst physically present. Must learn to receive. To receive. To receive. So when Jesus said, I will build my church. I showed you the words yesterday. Kwahal. Company. Multitude. Gathering. In Leviticus 23, Moses now gave an instruction. Listen here. This is very vital. Don't miss this one. Moses said, God has rescued you from Egypt. Now, these are the feasts and convocation that you will do unto the Lord. The word feasts in the Hebrew meant where we announce and celebrate what God has done. Said convocation. The word there, mikra, a noun. For another word, kara, it means to function properly. So which means, upon our salvation, we function effectively when we come together. So these are the feasts unto the Lord. He mentions the first fruits, where we celebrate the harvest of souls. He mentioned the Passover, where we celebrate, which is the major feast, where we celebrate our redemption. Then the flow of that, the first fruit, where we bring in gatherings of people that are born again, that they are saved, which means in all our services, from now in the name of Jesus, we're going to have first fruit in all our services. In all our services, new converts will be added every week. Every week. Because Pentecost is a celebration of first fruits. We're bringing in men. We're bringing in men. We're bringing in men. We're bringing in men. So, it's a feast. Why then do they eat? Because eating and drinking are synonymous to receiving. So, Moses had to make them eat physical things, so that they will learn to receive spiritual realities. Jesus said, "This is my blood. Drink all of it." You and I know what he meant was receive. And same thing, on the day of Pentecost, they received, they ate, they drank. When we come together like this, I must know how to eat. No constipation can happen in church meetings. The overflow of it will bless lives. Getting drunk is accepted because the overflow will produce boldness, a healing ministry, a teaching ministry, pioneering new works. So when we come, Paul says you are filled with the Spirit. Filled, which means we eat to the overflow. So, quickly, look at these few instructions I put down here. We must have four principles. Four principles. One, in receiving. I close here. We must, I close here for now. We must take what is available. Paul says, when you come together, every one of you, you know, when the Jews will come together for the feast, you bring food, right? Right? Remember, that was what he told them in 1 Corinthians 11. So when you bring physical food, why? You know, he first had to deal with natural things. Why are you having some people hungry? And some others are drunken and full. He said, you have to correct that. Take care of those that don't have. What was the next thing he said? Now, concerning spiritual things, I would not have you ignorant. And what did he write to chapter 14? So that we'd be a blessing to one another. That when we come together, people can also eat and drink spiritual realities. So the feast of believers is that we receive from one another. The Jews will sit at the table in their families. They'll break bread. They'll take wine. They'll eat the lambs. They'll feast on it. Now, when we gather, those things are now spiritual realities. The gifts of the Spirit. Hallelujah. The things of the Spirit. Visions and revelations. The gifts of healings. The workings of miracles. They are now on the table. They are now on the table, and all flesh shall see the glory of God.
How do I eat? I receive. I take it. I take it. You must know how to take. How do you take? With your mouth. Years ago, I went for a conference at Lateran Church, 94. It was a meeting that was restricted to some people. But I found my way there. Before I got there, I was praying. I took a fast, as I usually do. I was fasting. I said, today, my ministry will take a new turn. It will. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, hands will be laid on me. The word of knowledge will come. The word of wisdom will come. I said that. What was I doing? I was taking it. As soon as I got in there, I got my way inside. And then a man is going to be the Lord now, Reverend Ross Tatro. He's preaching. Two other preachers just thought. I did not even know he was coming. I didn't even know him. Two preachers, three actually, that I knew very well, thought, and they just left. He just came. Spoke on the worldwide evangelism. And he said something. As I speak, many of you will have birthed in you a vision for the nations. I sat down there and said, it's mine. It's mine. I told you yesterday, you can catch consecration in a meeting. Say, it's mine. It's mine. So, he said, hey you. I was on the fourth row. He said, hey you. Come, that young man, I came. And he began to prophesy. He said, can you hear what I'm saying? I said, I brought my Walkman, sir. It's all recorded. I came there hungry. I saw the food. Some who come there not hungry, they are eating other things. Strife, bitterness, Facebook posts, tweets, nonsense. So when they come, they are full of junk. You know, no matter how delicious food is, when you have eaten and you are full, you won't eat it. Because you have eaten nonsense. A man of God should bless you. You are reading stupid stories about him. You are already full. Right? A meeting should bless you. You did not go there. You didn't attend. You are full. Your stomach don't belly full. So they just say, ah, try and eat it now. Small utterance. Say, amen, amen. You are full. Hands were to be laid on you. You just say, I receive, amen. You are full. They will even give a vision, revelation. You will even know it is you. Because you have taken strife, bitterness, jealousy, envy. I warned you last year to be careful of things done on the social media. See, there is no godly reward for arrogance, disrespect, and dishonor. You will simply cut yourself off what God is doing. When others are talking, there was a preacher like that. I didn't know him. So somebody took me to his house and he said, ah, this guy, he can teach the Bible so well. He's this and that. So I went to his house. 1999. I got there. In 5 minutes, he had spoken down on many preachers that I knew. He has said, he even called some of them niggers. As we're leaving, a friend who took me there, he said, what do you think about that guy? I said, he will never be in the ministry. What do you mean? I said, no one that will last in the ministry talks like that. You can have disagreements. You may not even agree. But there are words. There are words that chosen men of God say, and they don't say. Are you following what I'm saying? You watch that. So don't become belly full when there's food. See, I'm hungry tonight. Say, I'm hungry tonight. So don't become full when there's more. Don't eat what is not your diet. That's why when I see somebody speak against people I hold in high esteem, I unfriend them on social media. Even if what they are saying makes sense, I don't want what makes sense. I want what will bless me. If I followed what made sense, I would not be here tonight. I tell people oftentimes, Kenneth Hagin delivered me from destruction. I mean, literally. So when I see any nonsense, I just move you. Hey, but he said this. Just go. I know where I'm coming from. I know my story. You don't know my story. I'm the one that knows my story. You don't know my story. Hallelujah. I cannot deny what I have seen. I can't deny what has blessed me. So you can criticize. I'm fine. You can, but you know, just take it away from me. Because I am still very hungry. Those of you who are on the protocol team, they know. What do I play every meeting? Brother Higgin. I play it in the bathroom. Where I play it everywhere. In the bathroom. When I'm sleeping, he sleeps with me. When I wake up, now come and be saying nonsense. Without Kenneth Higgin, you won't be here. None of you will be here tonight without Kenneth Higgin. God uses men. So get used to men. And those men will not be perfect. And it's not from my mouth you are going to hear they are not perfect. Do you get my point? It's as simple as that. Whatever I have today in the ministry is a contribution of men. And one of them is Kenneth E. Higgin. Just hearing his voice in the background, I'm not even listening to the teaching, you know. I say, it will be a great meeting. Just the voice. I'm not listening to the teaching, you know. Just the voice. Anyway, know how to receive. Honor. Desire. Every service, whether it is a cell meeting. I told this story in church. My friend, Tunji Ogule, his name is pastor now. I know that the gift of a prophet was working in his life. I knew it. In fact, there was a day like that. Listen to this. I've never said this publicly before. But I've told people that are close to me. He gathered us one day and he shared a vision God showed him with us. A vision about the body of Christ and all that. And we all sat down where at the long tennis court of United UI Sports Complex. So we sat down very, and you know, he's a very funny guy. He'll call us at 1 a.m. to come and listen to the word. And just wake us up. We're just checking, hearing vision. A few months after, Kenneth Higgin saw the same vision. I said, was my friend. Now, there were times like that he would gather us, we'd just be in a room. Five of us, six of us. Then he laid hands on me. I remember then I had a lot of pull in my eyes. Couldn't see. Couldn't see beyond this. He's my friend. He removed the glasses. He said, no more. He said, go out there and start to see. My friend. Why did I allow him to do it? Because I saw him in his office. Another meeting like that. He laid hands on me. 6 hours, I was in a trance. My friend. Have you received from your friends before? Can you receive from your friends? Can you receive from those who are seated beside you? Are you full or are you hungry? Did you hear what I said? Full or hungry? Hungry to see the glory of God. We're going to do something in a moment. We're going to see the glory of God in meetings. Now, hear me. Don't restrict yourself to prophecy. When we gather, we can have a physical demonstration of the glory of God. Don't wait till I minister. No! The glory of God is here! Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Remember, honor, hunger, desire. Don't eat what is not your diet. Did you hear me? Strife is not your diet. Anger is not your diet. Do you get it? Eat your own diet. Those who are full, let them be full. Amen. Eat your own food. Do you get it? Eat your own food. Eat your own food. Whoever God has called to your life to be a blessing to you, don't let anything hinder it. I told you, Satan plays the long game. Satan will ensure relationships that will bless the body of Christ in the future is destabilized now. He will bring things. Have you noticed that there are people today you are not in relationship with? if you look back, those things didn't really matter. You'd have just looked away. They didn't really matter. But you know, when it was happening, Satan did not allow you to see it. But you know what? None of us here will waste because of strife. Dishonor will not ruin our paths. Don't mind anybody preaching human worship. I told someone say, but he said, when we teach honor, can't we also talk about the excesses? I said, you focus on the excesses. I will preach the message. You take the ministry of the excesses. I will take the ministry of the message. You will reap the fruit of your excesses teaching or discernment. I will see the fruit of the message. Hallelujah. So let's just function in our own capacity. My capacity, what he told me to teach, what I'm teaching, what I found in God's word. Your own excesses is to look at stories around the body of Christ on the internet. Google things happening in churches, then preach it as the excesses. No, I stick to the scriptures. Hallelujah. I stick to the scriptures. God will keep using imperfect men to create perfect situations. Therefore, in your life and ministry, no matter how imperfect you are, we all are, perfect things will come out of you. Perfect things will come out of you. From these broken vessels, from these even vessels, the glory of God will flow out. Stand to your feet, lift your hands. Stand to your feet, everybody, lift your hands. Stand to your feet. We want to see the glory of God tonight. I shared stories with you. Why am I sharing those stories with you? So that you will know what to do. You will know what to do. You will know what to do. There are things to catch now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That what we're going to do, we're going to break up into groups. Our pastors will lead us. Because you know, sometimes, and that's what, you know, the church of God in the book of Acts, they met publicly and house to house. So we can have units of church meetings in this place. Are you ready for it? Are you ready for it? The pastors are going to come to you and we'll have a great time. Now, listen to me. What they want to do is to coordinate and make all of us, hallelujah, eat and drink, be full and overflow, be healed and heal, see and be seen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you guys ready? All right, you go too. Amen. Just lift your hands.